chapter number 23. Very, very, very familiar portion of Scripture. Most of you could probably quote Psalm 23. And I want us to look there this morning with the help of the Lord for a few moments this morning. Very familiar portion. I just want to look at one verse in Psalm 23. I want us to look at verse number 1. Psalm 23, verse number 1. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I want to preach on that thought this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this morning, we're thankful for the opportunity. We're thankful for all you've done for us. And God, we do want to worship you. We want to tell you we love you. But God, Lord, we realize that we can't love you except before you loved us first. And God, we're thankful for that. We're thankful that, Lord, you as our shepherd lay down your life, Lord, for the sheep. God, we're thankful for that. As we look into your word this morning, I pray, God, that you'd help us draw truths to live by. Help us this morning and everything that we say and do. May we be pleasing to you and may we truly worship you in spirit and in truth. God, help us this morning. Thank you for everything. Thank you for Jesus. Amen. And amen. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, the psalmist could have said, "The Lord," and that would have been good. He could have just made that statement of who he is, the Lord, and it would have been magnificent. He could have said, "The Lord is," and he would have been rightly in saying that. The Lord is, because the Lord is. And that word Lord is the self-existing one, so we know that he is. And then he said, "The Lord is my." I'm glad of that, amen. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that just brings it on in home a little bit closer. The Lord is, the Lord is my, the Lord is my shepherd. But then he wraps it all up and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." The Psalm 23 that we hear memorized and quoted, we hear it read or talked about at funerals many times. We hear it in much of life in a very critical and a very pivotal point in my life as I was seeking the Lord's will for my wife and I and where God would lead us. I was right outside of Nashville, Tennessee, out by a lake one day, and the Lord put it in my heart to read Psalm 23. And as I began to read Psalm 23 and I began to meditate on the truth of how the shepherd leads his sheep, and I began to see some truths in there. And for some time, God put Psalm 23 in my heart and I meditated and dwelled on this psalm for some time until the Lord led me to the Old Baptist Church. And I've looked at Psalm 23 many times in my life. But as we look in Psalm 23, and I know most of you could probably quote it, if not by verse, you know the thought through Psalm 23. This is a psalm or a song of trust. David writes, and he's writing of his dependence upon the shepherd. And as he looks at the Lord, he sees that the Lord is his shepherd. And as we go through scriptures, and especially right here in Psalm 22, 23, and 24, in Psalm 22, we would see that Jesus is the good shepherd that laid down his life for the sheep. In Psalm 24, we see that Jesus is the chief shepherd who one day is coming back for the sheep. But in Psalm 23, he is depicted to us as the great shepherd, the one who loves and takes care of his sheep. The Lord is our shepherd. And as shepherd, he is depicted as several different ways. As a shepherd, we think of the term shepherd, we think of the Lord as being a guide. We think of the Lord as being a protector. We think of the Lord as being a corrector at times. We think of the Lord as being a constant companion. We see the shepherd in our lives. We see there's not a lot of sheep farmers in our day anymore, but there are still a few. And in the Middle East, you see more of it. We see and we have read about or maybe heard about the tendencies and the characteristics of a shepherd, how he cares and watches over and how he provides and protects and he leads and he guides and he watches over the sheep, because sheep are really, they tell me, are really, they're a dumb animal. They're a dumb creature. They don't think for themselves a lot. They just seem to wander. That's why, as in our lives, sometimes we're prone to wander, prone to stray. And we need the shepherd to lovingly and to compassionately deal with us and to guide us and to protect us and to correct us and to lead us back to the fold. We see this in the New Testament. We see this pictured in the pastor. The pastor is the under-shepherd. He's not the shepherd, but he's the under-shepherd. And God has given the pastor this role of watching over the flock, of protecting the flock, of guiding the flock, of at times correcting the flock in love, and being there as a constant companion and as a source of encouragement for the flock. That's what David sees in the Lord. David, as he's the psalmist in Psalm 23, writes and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." I'm thankful to know this morning that I can stand here on the authority of the Word of God and I can say that the Lord is my shepherd. Now let's stop and think about just exactly what David will say. Notice the psalmist David says this, "The Lord." When he uses the term Lord, we think many times of the Lord God, and we think about Him as being God, the Creator. We think about Him as being sovereign. We think about Him as being the Savior. But David used the word Lord. The word Lord is the Hebrew word Jehovah. He said the Lord, Jehovah. That means the existing one or the self-existent one, the eternal God of heaven. This is the Jews' primary name for God. They call Him Jehovah, meaning He exists all by Himself. He doesn't need me for Him to be God. He doesn't need you for Him to be God. He is God. He's always been God. And He'll always be God. And if I cease to be faithful, He's always God. He is the Lord, the self-existing one. He doesn't need me in order for Him to exist. I need Him and I depend on Him so that I can exist. But He is the self-existing one. David said the Lord. And then he said this. He said, that Lord, that self-existing one, that one who needs nothing or no one, He is my shepherd. He is the one who guides me. He is the one who leads me to pastures to grace. He is the one that tends to my life. He is the one that watches over me. He is the one who allows me the goodness of His love. He is the one who tends to me and leads me and guides me and guards me and protects me and corrects me in love. He is that shepherd, the Lord. It's not a man in a dress that calls himself Papa. But it is the Lord. It is the God of heaven, the self-existing one. David said, my trust is in Him. The Lord is my shepherd. I am depending upon Him. What does a sheep do? A sheep does nothing but walks around and grazes in a field. And that field is the field that the shepherd let him do. And as he's there, that sheep is helpless. That sheep is hopeless without the protection and the guidance of the shepherd. Without a shepherd, the wolf would come in and destroy the flock. The wolf would come in and to devour the sheep. But the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he said, I shall not want. The idea of want is to be at lack, to become wanting, or to be without something or anything, to be decreased and to be lacking. The Lord is my shepherd, so he said, I have no need. By implication, he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd, so I will not fail. I will not become wanton. I will not become lessened. I will not become abated and decreased in the things that I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What a rich promise in one verse that God gives us through the psalmist David, that we can look as you and I that have been born again and we know the Lord is our Savior. We can read this verse and we can claim and say that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. In other words, He is the one who has taken me into His fold. He is the one who came and found me when I was lost. He is the one who brought me to His side. He is the one who protects me. He is the one that provides my every need. He is the one who protects me every day. He is the one who leads me in the right path. The Lord is my shepherd, so I shall not want. I want to make a few statements about this statement. And I want to say, number one, that this statement, the Lord is my shepherd, is a statement of security.
It is a statement of security. You see, January the 10th, 1999, the Holy Ghost convicted me, and I trusted the Lord to save me. I didn't do anything but put my dependence upon Him. When you got saved, you didn't do anything to be saved but to turn from your sin and to depend upon the Lord Jesus. And in doing so, you put all your dependence, all your trust, all your faith in Him. And the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's a statement of security because, you see, since the moment I trusted Christ and He saved me, He has kept me saved. And I depend on Him to do so. John 10 talks about how no man can pluck Him out of my hand, Jesus said. And no man can pluck Him out of my Father's hand. He said, my Father was gave me is greater than all. Neither shall any man pluck Him out of my Father's hand. He said, they shall never perish. Are you listening to me? It's a statement of great security. The Lord is my shepherd. And when I think that the psalmist said, He is my shepherd, he didn't just say the Lord is a shepherd. He said, He's my shepherd. He got real personal. This is a personal security. This is a personal confidence. This is a personal assurance. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. If you're saved this morning, you can rightfully say that the Lord is my shepherd. Gets real personal. I'm thankful this morning that God loved the world. I'm thankful that He loved the church. But I'm even more happy to tell you that I know that He loved me. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a personal security. It's a statement of permanence. He said, He did not say that the Lord was my shepherd. He said the Lord is my shepherd. As long as I've been around since 1975, the King James Bible has always said the Lord is my shepherd. As long as I live, it'll always say the Lord is my shepherd. The Bible says that the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. In heaven, there's a record, listen to me, of the Lord is my shepherd. Are you listening to me? He never was. He always is. This is a statement of security. It's a permanent fixture. The Lord is my shepherd. When you come to know Him and when you come into His fold, He is your shepherd. He will never cease to be your shepherd. He always will be your shepherd. That's why He corrects you. That's why He protects you. That's why He guides you. That's why He has a say-so in your life, because the Lord is your shepherd. And at times when He intervenes in your life and when He works in your life, it is a sense of security to know that He's your shepherd. That's why He cares and tends and watches over you. It is a permanent security. It is a present security. He said He's our shepherd. When I read over in another psalm, He said He's a very present help in trouble. The shepherd doesn't flee when the wolf comes. The shepherd is not scared of the enemy. The shepherd, He has that rod and that staff, and He said, they comfort me. Sometimes He has to use one end to correct me, but the other end comforts me. He's a very present help. You go through trials in life. You go through turmoils of life. You face storms in life. You face enemies and you face opposition. And you face those who would rise up against you. And you face times that would put your faith to the test. But if you're God's child, you know that He is your shepherd. And your shepherd is with you. And your shepherd is never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He is always your shepherd. He's present with you. He is a constant companion. His security denotes possession. Notice He said, the Lord is my shepherd. When you say something is mine, it denotes ownership, does it not? He's claiming that the shepherd is His. But I want to just remind you that if the shepherd is the sheep, then the sheep must be the shepherd's. The sheep must belong to the shepherd for the sheep to say, that is my shepherd. There's a statement of security. It shows the personal touch of the shepherd, the permanent assurance of the shepherd, the present care of the shepherd, the possession denotes His ownership. He is my shepherd. Notice this, not only is this statement a statement of security, but this statement, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, is a statement of submission. Submission. Notice He said, the Lord. That Jehovah God, that He is the Lord. Do you know that as the Lord is our shepherd, we belong to Him? Not only does he belong to us, but we belong to him. And what does a shepherd do? He leads the flock. Notice in the next couple of verses, he talks about, verse 3, how he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So the shepherd leads him. He said he leads me beside the still waters. The shepherd leads the sheep, but the shepherd always and also feeds the sheep. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads us down there where there's green pastures. He leads us and he feeds us. If we're going to enjoy the calm, still waters, if we're going to graze and to be nurtured and to receive the nutrition from the green pastures, we must submit to the leadership, the guidance, the direction of the shepherd. It's a term of submission. Sheep do not tell the shepherd where we're going. Sheep do not tell the shepherd what we're going to eat. Sheep do not tell the shepherd what to do, but rather the shepherd leads the sheep, and the sheep hear his voice, and the sheep know the shepherd, and the sheep follow the shepherd, and the shepherd leads them to the green pasture. He leads them beside the still waters. He leads them in paths of righteousness, and they follow him because he is the shepherd. Submission. Sheep must submit to the shepherd's plan. Sheep must submit to the shepherd's purpose and the shepherd's power in order to enjoy the shepherd's protection and provision. Oh, we all want the still waters. We all want the green pastures. But how many of us are willing to be led there? Say, the Lord is my shepherd. If the Lord is our shepherd, we must submit to his plan, submit to his direction, submit when he says go, follow. When he says come, go. The old song says, where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. The Lord is my shepherd. If the Lord is our shepherd, we ought to submit to him. A term of submission is a statement of satisfaction. The Lord is my shepherd, and as I submit to him, as I follow him, as he leads me and guides me and protects me, the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A phrase of satisfaction. A statement that says, hey, because the Lord is my shepherd, I'm satisfied in Jesus. I'm satisfied, and so I shall not want. As I was studying that word shall, we've heard that word shall many times. The idea of that word shall, it's an old English word, and shall originally meant to plan to or to intend to expect to will have to do. Someone would say, I shall. That means I'm planning to. I'm expecting to. I shall. Something is going to happen, we say it shall happen, meaning it is determined to, or it definitely will. With the right usage and the right expression, this the word shall implies determination and gives the force of a promise. So when the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What he is saying is that the Lord is my shepherd, and because the Lord is my shepherd, because he's guiding me, because he's providing for me, because I'm trusting him, because he's leading me, because I'm under his care, he said, I shall not want. In other words, I'm not planning to come into a lack. I'm not expecting or intending to ever be in a lack. I'm not determined to. I'm determined, and it is determined, that as I trust the shepherd, my needs will be met. As I trust the shepherd, he's going to give me what I need. As I trust the shepherd, I may not have all my wants, but I have everything that I need. I'll have my daily bread supplied. I'll have clothes on my back. I'll have food on my table. Hey, as the Lord is my shepherd, he's going to provide. He's going to protect. He'll watch over me. He'll watch over my family. As I be led by the shepherd, he's going to guide me in the right steps here. Keep me off the crooked path here. Keep me from going down the slippery slopes. As the Lord is my shepherd, as I follow after him, he said, I shall not want.
Amen.
I don't know about y'all, but this is encouraging to me. This helps me to know that the Lord is my shepherd and I can be satisfied in Him. I don't have to have a president. I don't have to have a Congress. I don't even have to have a group of people at the church house that's for me. The Lord is my shepherd, and so I shall not want. I don't have to have the majority. So I said, me and God make the majority. I got news for you. God made the majority whether you was with Him or not. Lord is my shepherd is a statement of satisfaction. I shall not want. The subject, listen, the subject who genuinely experiences and can claim the shepherd as his own may also gratifyingly enjoy the supplies of the shepherd. So what did you say, preacher? Let me get it to you real simple. If he's yours, you can enjoy everything he's got. If he's your shepherd, he's got you covered. You say, but preacher, you don't know I need this, I need this. First off, let's ask the question, do you need it or do you want it? And then let's ask the question, are you being led by Him? Are you walking in His paths of righteousness? Are you making your decisions in life being directed by the shepherd's plan and purpose? And if you are, you can say as the shepherd, David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, as long as I'm led by Him, as long as I allow Him to take me down to the green pastures, as long as I allow Him to lead me beside the still waters, as long as I allow Him to lead me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, I ain't got nothing I need. I'm not going to come up like you. Think about the supply. It's a vital supply. Do we not all have needs in life? How many has needs in life? Somebody shake your head, do something. The needs in our life are vital, are they not? I need provisions every day. I need money to live on just like you do. I need food. I need dead cows and dead fish and dead chickens. I like to put them in the ministry. Amen? Amen? Sacitators once in a while, we all have needs. We need electricity, right? We need gasoline. We need things. There's needs that we have to live this life in which we are. We have needs. We need protection. We need the protection for our family as well as ourselves. We need security. We need the peace that God can provide. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's a vital supply. There are things in this life that I cannot in and of myself provide. But as long as I know that the Lord is my shepherd, He's got it all under control. It's a vital supply. I cannot walk, the song said, without Him holding my hand. You say, I don't need God. Let me ask you a question. You take God out of the equation and tell me just this. How long do you expect you're going to breathe? He is the breath in your lungs. You say, I don't need Him. I ain't depending on me. Hey, He's pumping the blood through your veins. He's the Lord. And the Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. It's a vital supply. We all have a need of the Lord's supply. It's a veritable supply. Let me remind you, the psalmist didn't say, the Lord is my shepherd, I might not want. He said, I shall not want. Veritable, it's true, it's dependable. This is not a make-believe. Somebody said, well, your faith is a figment of your imagination. Man, you're crippled too high for crutches. I'm standing on the promises of Christ my King. Are you listening to me? I've seen too many prayers answered. I have seen God provide too many times and too many ways to say it's just a coincidence. I've seen bills paid. I've seen food put on the table. I've seen our bodies healed. I have seen God do work and do things that only He can do. Way too many times you came in way too late to tell me that it's all coincidence. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, because His supply is real, His supply is true, His supply is one that can be depended upon. Not only is it vital, but it's veritable, it's real. I can trust Jesus. It's a supply that's vast. You realize this morning the psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He put himself personal. But realize that every believer that has ever lived and ever walked could say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You can say it. Would you say it with me? Just repeat it with me. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That was a lot of wants. There was a lot of needs that was just represented. His supply is readily available. His supply is a vast supply. He has everything you'll ever need. Matter of fact, you don't even know what you need. But tomorrow or next week or next year, when you get to the point to where you realize what you need, He's going to already have the need supplied. He's got the need met waiting on you when you get there. Hey, His supply is a vast supply. He said over in Philippians chapter 4, "But my God shall supply." He's talking to a bunch of poor folks over in Philippi. He's talking to folks that didn't have a lot. They were giving out of their need. They were getting out of their wantonness. They were at need physically and financially. They didn't have a whole lot, but they were faithful to be involved in the ministry. They were faithful to invest in getting the gospel out. And Paul gave them the promise and the assurance that my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Somebody's rightfully said He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And He owns the hills too. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. He's got everything you need. You say, "Well, preacher, you just don't know what I need." No, I don't know what I need, but I know the one who does know your need. I know the one that can meet your need. I can't meet your need. The bank can't meet your need. The doctor can't meet your need. The lawyer can't meet your need. But there's a God in heaven if you know Him. Honey, I will tell you this morning, there's a God in heaven. You can claim Him as your shepherd, and your shepherd has everything you ever need. He has the protection you need. He has the direction you need. He has the provisions you need. He has the correction you need. He has the love and the compassion you need. He has it all. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And then I'll say this. This is a statement of salvation. It's a statement of salvation. You can see if I'm in the fold, there's no need for me to famish. If I'm in the fold, there's no need for me to ever be at want. But as a statement of salvation, only those who come the scriptural way can claim the Lord is my shepherd. Let me make it real simple. The Lord is not everybody's shepherd. Jesus in John 10 describes some that come another way. False prophets abounding in our day. He talked about those thieves and robbers. He said this in John 10:9. He said, or John 10:10. He said, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." Jesus said, "But I am come that they might have life, they might have it more abundantly." Because in John 10:9, Jesus said this, "I am the door." As the shepherd of the sheep, as the great shepherd, He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And go in and out and find pasture." Jesus said, "It's through me, the door. As the shepherd, I am the door." Many times, and I give you this quickly, but they tell me that in the Middle East, a shepherd, he didn't always have what we have today as far as the lumber to build a fence. And so he would find a natural rock wall or some type of a cliff, and he would bring his sheepfold into it. And then he would find a narrow spot that would be the doorway, the shepherd himself would lay down once he got his sheep inside, and he himself would lay down. So that anyone wanting to come in would have to come through him, and anyone wanting out would have to go through him. Jesus said, "I am the door." Hey, He's laid down His life for His sheep. If you want to come into the fold, you have to come in through the door. Jesus said, "I am the door." But then He said this, He said, "And he shall be saved If you'll enter in, there's the promise, you shall be saved. And then here's the vastness of the supply for those that are saved. He said, it shall go in and out and find pasture. In other words, Jesus said, hey, if you'll come through the door, if you'll be saved, he said, the pasture is wide, the pasture is a vast supply, and you can roam about. He said, I got everything you'll ever need, but you've got to come in at the door. We've got a lot of people in our day claiming that God is going to take care of them and claiming that God has blessed them, and they do not know God because they've never came through Jesus Christ.
That's right.
I've got to tell you this morning, he's not your shepherd if you've never trusted him. He's not your shepherd if you've never placed your faith on him. And only those who can rightfully claim the Lord Jesus by faith and repentance as their shepherd can rightfully claim the benefits that belong to the shepherd. Because he's my shepherd, I don't have to walk. Because he's my shepherd, I don't have to go through life empty. But the only way he becomes your shepherd is for you to come in at the door. Here's the question this morning. Can you say as the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that this morning? The Lord is my shepherd. When did you come in? When did you enter in at the door? Is the Lord your shepherd? And then as a Christian this morning, if you say the Lord is my shepherd, then you can say, I shall not want. No need. No intentions. No expectations. To be in want, because the Lord is my shepherd. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. And I pray that if you don't know the shepherd, today you trust him. Father, take your word, bless it as only you can. Do it for your glory, according to your will. We'll thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the pianist is beginning to play softly. Maybe God.